Well, hello everybody and Shabbat Shalom. Here we are, another virtual One in Messiah. Have some preliminary news that we may be able to start meeting back at New Life Fellowship in Parma 2 weeks from tonight. But I'm going to let everybody know, of course, in the email, on Facebook, and everywhere else. So tonight, of course, it's still going to be virtual. But at least we have something to look forward to. So I hope you're all having fun studying the Word while you're in your shutdown. And boy, driving around today, it looks like things are getting back to normal, which is good. So welcome to another episode of One in Messiah. And next week, we're going to have Pentecost, which is, of course, is awesome for all of us charismatic Pentecostal types. And tonight we're going to continue a little bit with the Holy Spirit teaching, and then next week we'll do a Pentecost teaching as well as on the radio and podcasts and so forth. And so without further ado, we're going to light the candles and get started.
Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments, commanded us to be light to the nations, and who gave us Yeshua the Messiah, light to the world.
Amen. And Yeshua is the light of the world, and if you want to stand for the Shema, if you want to sit for the Shema, it's okay. Technically, you should stand and face Jerusalem, which is to the east, but if I do that, then you'll see the side of me, which might be even worse than seeing the front of me. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Baruch Shem Kavod Malkuto Leolam Vayed. Blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. That's all from Deuteronomy chapter 6, of course, starting in verse 4. You can study that for your homework. And then we've added a prayer called the Amidah, which is the standing prayer. Blessed are you, Lord our God, and the God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, the great, mighty, and awesome God, the Most High God, who bestows grace and creates all and remembers the righteousness of the fathers and brings a Redeemer to their children's children for his name's sake with love. O King, Helper, Savior, and Shield, blessed are you, O Lord, Shield of Abraham. Amen. Yeah, so that's awesome. So now I'm just going to change my little PowerPoint here. So, since Pentecost is coming, and since when the Holy Spirit descends in the upper room on Pentecost morning, as we're going to learn next week, you know, the writer Luke says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, because as you know, we're counting the Omer now, essentially from Passover to Shavuot, which is the Hebrew feast. Shavuot means Feast of Weeks. Pentecost means 50 days. Because, like we've learned, you count 7 weeks, you count 49 days from the first Sabbath after the Passover, and then the 50th day is Pentecost. And, you know, a lot of people feel that in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, God does not reveal himself as Trinity, does not reveal himself as being more than one person within the Godhead. It's not true, and We're going to talk more about that right after Pentecost, because there's plenty of examples in the Old Testament, which is called the Tanakh. And Tanakh, by the way, is not a word. It's an acronym that stands for the Torah, the prophets, and the wisdom literature, the writings, as it's called. And so tonight, though, we're going to take a lesson from Numbers chapter 11. Now, I'm goofy enough that I love the book of Numbers. As you know, the people are in the wilderness during the whole book of Numbers. And we call it Numbers because we use the Greek derivation of it. Because, as I'm sure you know, there was a Greek version of the Old Testament written. It was commissioned by Alexander the Great, and it was called the Septuagint, from the Greek word for 70, in reference to the 70 elders of Israel. So in the book was called Numbers in the Greek, because at the beginning of it, the people are told to take a census, and it goes through painstakingly how many people are in each tribe, because God told Moses to appoint people to take the census, somebody from each tribe. And so it's called Numbers, because at the beginning of it, there's like hundreds of numbers. In Hebrew, it's not called Numbers. In Hebrew, it's called Midbar, which means in the wilderness, which I've always thought makes a lot more sense. But anyway, whatever you call it, in Numbers chapter 11, and we'll call it Numbers because, you know, as my wife always reminds me, if you throw around Hebrew terms for everything, nobody knows what you're talking about after a while. So Book of Numbers 11, I'm going to start in 16. I'm just going to read it quickly because I want to talk about it. I don't want to take a lot of time, but it's important to hear the context of it. So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the Spirit, with a capital S, that is upon you, and put the same upon them." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in a cloud, and spoke to him, meaning Moses. And he took of the Spirit, capital S, that was upon him, and placed the same on the 70 elders. And it happened that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, although they never did so again. So, what do we have here? We have a limited outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the 70 elders, including Moses. As we're going to see, 68 of them are actually there, but we'll talk about the other two in a minute. But this is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but you see, it's not the full outpouring that we see on Pentecost morning. It's not the full outpouring that we see in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. It's not the full outpouring that the prophet Joel describes as the Spirit being poured out on all flesh. Young people, old people, men, women, slaves, free people, doesn't matter what you are. So this is a limited outpouring. It's not limited Spirit, it's limited outpouring. And in fact, the Lord, all capital letters, and as you know, in your English Bible, when Lord is written in all capital letters, it's God's name. So it's Yahweh, the unpronounceable name, the tetragrammaton, four letters. And all the four letters are consonants. So depending which vowels you add, we get either Yahweh or Jehovah. But God tells Moses that a portion of the Spirit that's on him is going to be put on the other 69 elders. A portion of the Spirit. So it's a limited amount of outpouring. Pentecost morning, of course, not only was there an unlimited outpouring, but that outpouring has been going on for 2,000 years and is still going on today. There's many people that believe, well, all that Holy Spirit stuff, Yeah, you know, after the first century that ended. Well, no, the Holy Spirit's been working for the 2,000 years, and we still have outpourings of the Spirit. But we'll get into that some other time. So he's going to take a portion of the Spirit, capital S, that was on Moses, and put it on the elders. So Moses obeys, and he goes and gets everybody and brings them to the tabernacle. And it's interesting that God comes in the cloud. This is the Shekinah, which is the glory cloud. And as you recall from your studies of the Torah, I hope you do, it was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And it was always at the camp. Everyone could see it. And it led the people through the wilderness, just like the Holy Spirit leads us as believers through our Christian life. Through the wilderness that we're walking through now on our way to a different promised land and a better promised land, which of course is heaven. So we'll talk more about that next week and probably the following week. But God comes in the cloud, and then the Spirit fell on these elders. So that's kind of neat. These guys had really no idea what was going on. And I'm not sure Moses really had any idea about what was going on. But these 70 elders were filled with the Spirit, and they prophesied. It doesn't tell us what they said. It doesn't tell us if they had any kind of gift of tongues. It doesn't tell us if they prayed over people. It doesn't tell us if there were healings. It doesn't tell us really any information except that they prophesied. And interestingly, they prophesied once. It specifically tells us. And it specifically tells us, and they never did it again. So the Holy Spirit was poured out on them for a brief time. They got gifts which they used. Remember, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that the Spirit gives us many different gifts. One Spirit, many gifts. And then in Ephesians, he tells us the gifts are for the building up of the body. They're for the building up of the church. They're for the building up of the fellowship. They're for spreading the gospel. If you remember, Jesus, Yeshua, called him the Spirit of Truth because he proclaims the truth, which is something we sorely need in our society. And in my opinion, not everybody agrees, this is why the pandemic is here. And there will be others coming shortly, I'm sure. But in any event, the Spirit gives gifts on these guys and they start to prophesy. They never prophesied before and they never prophesied again. It was a limited thing. Then it goes on in verse 26, and if you listen to the radio show, you'll know that Steve and I used to joke a lot about these guys. But verse 26, but two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle. Yet they prophesied in the camp. So in other words, these two guys were late for church, but the Spirit still fell on them. They were supposed to be there at 10 o'clock, and by this time it was 10:20, and they weren't there yet. And that always makes me crazy when a service starts at 10 and people start strolling in at 10:25. But anyway, so these guys, Eldad and Medad, they were late for church, and the Spirit fell on them where they were, which was back in the camp, not in the tabernacle. And they prophesied. Again, it doesn't tell us what they did. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. We're going to find out that this was Joshua, who was so devoted to Moses, he said, I better go tell Moses that these guys who didn't come to the meeting, because they don't like meetings, they're never there on time, but the two guys who didn't come to the meetings got filled with the Spirit, and they're prophesying in the camp. So they're exercising gifts. They're exercising them in a different place than the other 68, in a different place. Sovereignly done, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the same Spirit who pours out gifts as he wills. God is sovereign. The Holy Spirit pours out gifts as he will. You have a different gift than the other guy. That guy has a different gift than she does. She has a different gift than I do. I have a different gift than he does. We can't all have the same gift. And, you know, he also compares it to the parts of the body. Every part of the body functions to keep the body going. You know, and every part of the body can't be an eye. Every part of the body can't be an ear. Because then you wouldn't have a body. So the Spirit's not limited by what we think or what we expect. Moses and probably Joshua, who was Moses' right-hand guy, who of course later takes the people into the land in the book of Joshua. I hope you know that. Takes people into the land. Approximately 39 and a half years later, I don't know at this point where they are, but it doesn't matter. But at some point later, he leads the people into the land after Moses dies. So he expects that the elders are at the tabernacle. Moses is the head guy. The Spirit's going to fall there because the head guy's there and the leaders are there where they're supposed to be. That's where the meeting was called. And what they expected was, if you weren't there, you weren't going to get filled with the Spirit. So the Spirit came, and he was not limited by what Moses thought or Joshua thought or any of these other guys thought, because he moves as he wills. And Jesus, Yeshua, points this out too in John's Gospel. I think, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's chapter 3. It's around verse 8 or so, where he says, you know, you don't know, you know, you feel the wind and you don't know where it comes from and you don't know where it goes. And that's how the Spirit is. You know, we don't see the Spirit, but we feel him moving. We see where he goes, but we don't know all the details. Like Elijah in the cave and many other examples. But Yeshua told us we would have this. So obviously this was this was not done by Moses. Moses did not take some of the Spirit that was on him and put it on 69 other guys, two of which were, I don't know, half a mile away or whatever it was. So this obviously was not done by Moses. This was a sovereign move of the Holy Spirit. So then it goes on to say, so Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Says, tell these guys, you know, stop this. Because after all, God gave you the plan. You were obedient to the plan. You brought the elders here. These two guys, you know, they overslept. They were out looking for coffee. They're 20 minutes late. But they still got filled with the Spirit, even though they're not here. So, Moses, you need to do something about this because they didn't follow the directions. They didn't follow the instructions. So Joshua thought, this is wrong. Something's gone wrong. Because when you think about it, I want you to think how this goes on in the life of every church. Joshua was more zealous for Moses than he was for what God was doing. He was more worried about Moses' leadership than he was that the Spirit of God had fallen on these guys and they had prophesied. So, you know, that happens all the time. You know, the leader needs to be propped up. I'm more loyal to the leader than I am as to what God's doing, moving here. And I think if you sit back and think about that, you'll realize that it happens pretty often in today's churches. And, well, it's always happened in the church. So then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people would be prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. In other words, Moses says, don't worry about me. This is a move of God. This is a move of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't know it that way, but that's what it is, because the word spirit, which is ruach, is used. Interestingly, in Greek, you know, ruach means spirit. It also means breath, and it also means wind. And the same thing happens with the Greek, with the word pneuma. It means spirit, it means wind, it means, blanking out, but breath. So we got the word pneumonia from pneuma. But Moses says, I wish everybody was impacted by the spirit because it's not about me. You know, if you listen to my podcasts and radio shows and teachings and stuff, I always say, it's not about us. Moses is telling Joshua, listen, young man, I'm glad that you're zealous for me and you're a big help to me, but this is not about me. I didn't do this. I wish everybody would have been filled with the Spirit. I wish everybody had these gifts. And don't we wish that in the church? Everybody had these gifts. Everybody was impacted by the Spirit. But what do we have? We have some people impacted. We have some people who say, I don't know what you guys are talking about. We have the 57-minute crowd who kind of shuffles in and shuffles out and has no clue what just happened. And you can see, and those of you that are in charismatic movements, I'm sure, as you know, I've been for a long time, but I'm sure there's times where you say to yourself, I wish everybody in this place felt like this. I wish everybody in this place had been baptized in the Spirit. So Moses says, it's not about me, Joshua. And he kind of reproves him. You know, Joshua's a young man. He doesn't want Joshua thinking that it's about him because he understands that this is a move of the Spirit. And by projection, again, to us, we can't be grieved because other people have gifts. Oh, why did that guy get to do all that stuff? I've been in this church longer than he has. How come she got to do that, that, and the other thing? I don't think she really did it that well. Or how come so-and-so got to go over there and do that? Or he doesn't even come to our prayer meeting. There's even some Sundays he's not in church. How come he's over there? That's Joshua being zealous for Moses. You know, we can't be grieved because God is using somebody to do something. You know, you couldn't sit home on your couch and say, gee, how come Billy Graham got to do all that stuff? And I'm sitting here on my couch. We can't think that way. We can't be grieved because others have gifts. Because everybody has gifts in a different way to build up the body. And we can't be surprised, as an extension of that, we can't be surprised that God uses people outside of a group, outside of a church. You know, how many times on Friday nights do I stand there and say, well, you know, the people in church A say, oh, those people in church B, they're really screwed up. And the people in church B say, oh, those people that go to church A and church C, boy, they're really messed up. And then the people that are in church Y say, gee, those people in church Z don't even know what's going on. Those are dangerous things to say. Because you don't know how the Holy Spirit's moving or how they're being used. You know, Jesus later deals with this when the disciples say, hey, there were people over there casting out demons, but they're not in our group. Remember that? I don't know. I don't remember which gospel it's in. I don't have it in front of me, but you can look it up. Jesus says, don't worry about that. Because if you're working in the kingdom, if you're not dividing the kingdom, then you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And he told those guys, don't worry, those guys out there, he doesn't say it, but he says, you know, those guys out there are like Eldad and Medad. They're casting out demons. They're proclaiming the kingdom, even though you guys don't know who they are. So that's a very important lesson from this. And what's even more important is you don't try to silence people. You know, Joshua wanted Moses, he said, you forbid that. Forbid it, because they're doing something that you're supposed to be doing. And he says, no. He goes, I wish everybody did this. I think it's Mark chapter 9. But anyway, we'll have to check that out. But, you know, in that gospel, Jesus, the apostles actually said, we tried to stop them. Say, hey, you guys, stop casting out demons. stop preaching in Jesus' name. You're not even in our group. Or, man, you know, where do they get off doing this? They haven't been to a single Bible study we've had. Or I never saw them on church on Shabbat morning. No, Jesus says, leave them alone. Because Moses doesn't want to quench the Spirit. He understands not to quench the Spirit. He wishes the Spirit had fallen on everybody. We're going to have that next week. And, you know, also in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians, I can't remember the chapter, but I'm pretty sure it's in 1 Corinthians. Paul says, you know, all the apostles got called. I got called in a different way. I got called later. I got called I was born in an abnormal way. The Greek means something much more descriptive, which we're not going to get into. I was born in an abnormal way. And then he says, but I've done more work than all those other guys, meaning the other apostles. So a little bit of his arrogance comes forward. But then he adds, it doesn't matter to me who these people heard the gospel from. I don't care who they heard it from, as long as they heard the gospel. If Peter told them the gospel, great. If Thomas told them the gospel, great. If Andrew told them the gospel, great. It doesn't necessarily have to be me. Now, we see that all the time in the church. Well, nobody can do it like I can do it. If I don't tell that guy the gospel, nobody else can be able to do it. So Moses says, no, we don't think that way. Jesus says, no, we don't think that way. Paul says, no, we don't think that way. We're just happy that God is working and that he's being glorified by saving people, that the gospel is being spread. Moses is concerned with all the people, and he's excited that this has happened, and he wishes it would have happened to everybody. And this is how we should be in the church. The outpouring of the Spirit is such an important thing. Here the Holy Spirit acted only on the leaders. They got gifts for ministry. In the new covenant, the Holy Spirit just doesn't fall on the leaders. It falls on all believers. There were 120 people in the upper room. As they went on with their ministry, they laid hands on people, which is the usual way that the Spirit falls in New Testament times. Not always, but most of the time. And it wasn't just given to leaders. You know, it's not just the job of the, quote, clergy to be filled with the Spirit. So everybody got the gifts for ministry, not just the leaders. It doesn't matter what denomination you're in. That's true. You know, back in Isaiah, well, I shouldn't say back in, because from Moses' time, Isaiah was still about, about 400 or 500 years in the future. But Isaiah 40, verse 13 says, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or, as his counselor, has taught him, capital H. You know, there's leaders that say, you know, I'll direct the Spirit where I want him to go. And I'll teach him what he needs to know about this group. Because I don't think he's got all the facts. Moses says, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Because no person can direct him. This is a sovereign move. No person can know all his plans. No person can advise him or say, oh, you didn't do that right. You should have never fallen on that guy over there. He hasn't been to church in a month. So Moses says to Joshua, would that everybody had this. I wish the Spirit fell on everybody. So here we have this limited outpouring. And as we're going to see next week, of course, as we celebrate Shavuot / Pentecost, and I haven't checked on the Hebrew calendar when the feast is on the Hebrew calendar, because remember, we're counting 50 days from sometime around April 11th. I think around April 11th, but I'm sure it's probably during this week. But we'll celebrate Pentecost as the Christian feast next Sunday. And it's important to keep these things in mind because this is the birthday of the church. Whew! I tried to do a lot of stuff really quick, so I hope it was all right. So join us again next week. We'll definitely be doing a live feed next week. The following Friday, which is 2 weeks from tonight, I hope that we'll be meeting in person, because I really miss meeting with everybody in person. Like, I've been doing online Bible studies and meeting with people online, and I mean, it's nice and it's better than nothing, but it isn't the same. So have an awesome Shabbat as the sun's going to set, and look forward to Pentecost next weekend. So as usual, we'll close with the Aaronic blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance before you and give you his peace, his true shalom, his all-encompassing peace, which the world cannot give. And we ask this in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, who is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Amen.